It's time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we're going to have Kokomo Bobcats head basketball coach Cliff Lovingston. That's a taped interview. We're going to have that here in just a second for you. Followed by National Federation of State High School Association's Executive Director Chris Niehoff at 9:15. Then at 9:45, we're going to have Gonzaga Athletic Director Mike Roth on from out there in the state of Washington. So that's our show for today. So let's get right to it. On Thursday afternoon, we had a chance to sit down and talk to Cliff Lovingston, the former NBA star, who is now the head coach of the Kokomo Bobcats of the Basketball League. So here's that interview. So first of all, what was the reason for you wanting to come back into coaching over here in Kokomo?
Well, you know what? I really wasn't looking to coaching anymore. I was basically just going to just enjoy playing golf and just enjoying life, you know. But I got a call from Mark Jansen, and he convinced me to he said, first of all, he said, we would like you as our coach, but I think you would like it. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. What do you guys have to offer? And they said, well, won't you just come down and look and see what we have to offer? So when I came down, I seen it's not what I seen, is what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
I felt they had a great product and a great mission statement, which is, you know, more than basketball. And that's what basically tingled my taste buds and got me thinking about, okay, let me see what they really all have to offer. And then they laid everything out for me. You know, I met the mayor, Tyler Moore. Then I met people around Kokomo, and I seen that they were really into basketball and they loved basketball. And it was a community thing. And that's what really got me to wanting to be here in Kokomo, was it was a community involvement. And you know, like what Mark told me, it was more than basketball. He wasn't kidding. It's more than basketball. It's the love of the game, the love of the people, the love of the sport. I mean, it was everything that I would have wanted to be part of.
What exactly is the Basketball League? And I'm pretty sure it's a developmental league, but what exactly is this league?
Well, this league's about helping guys get to the next level. It's more like a stepping stone to bigger paydays and launch guys into professional basketball. It's more than fun, basically helping guys find really what they really want out of this game. Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved about what Mark and them had the offer. Mark and Jeff, their vision was to help launch some guys into either NBA, overseas, the G League, and, you know, they could say that they got their start here in Kokomo.
Okay. Do you think that there's a few too many developmental leagues, or is there about enough, or should we have a few more? Because it seems like this has been a growing market now for the last several years.
Well, you know what? It's a lot of basketball leagues. But there's not any development league. And the G League is a development league, and I think we're just a step under the G League. Whereas a lot of other ones aren't really paying the guys. They're not really putting the money where their mouth is, so to speak. You know, a lot of them say they want to help guys get to the next level, but they want guys to play for free. And, you know, it's not about these guys playing for free. It's about these guys helping these guys get to the next level. And by paying them, that's showing them how the real professional basketball is really ran. And you know, going to the next level to be taken serious is when you're paying guys to play, the other leagues take you a little bit more seriously.
Okay. What, when you guys go out there, what, like, for, what is the league like? I mean, I'm sure it's like a regular basketball league, but, you know, what exactly, I mean, what are the players getting roughly, and, you know, how many games do you play and so on?
Well, we play 24 games, 12 home, 12 away. The pay is anywhere from, $700 to $2,500 this year because of COVID, but it's, like I said, it's growing, and we have 35 teams in our league, from Florida, Atlanta, New York, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, Nevada, California, Oregon. So we got teams all over, and that's the beauty part about it. It's not just a regional league, and most of the ones that are saying they're pro leagues or development leagues are just regional. This league is throughout the United States. It's from coast to coast.
How has your team been doing so far?
Well, we're playing pretty well right now. We're 7-1 right now. We have two big games coming up this weekend. And, you know, they're going to be tough games this weekend. We're trying to get out of this at least, 1-1. If we can get 1-1 out of this weekend, that'll be good. If we get 2-0 out of this weekend, that'd be great. That'll put us, alone at the top of the leaderboard.
So now when your regular season is over, is the season over at that time, or do you guys have playoffs to go into and try and crown a champion that way?
Well, the season ends in June. And then we have the playoffs, which starts in July. It'll be about 3 weeks of playoff games, and it'll be a crown of championship in the end of July. So,
okay.
we're trying to be one of those teams that are fighting for that championship at the end of July.
So, is there two divisions in the TBL? Is that how many there are?
There's four divisions.
Four divisions.
East to west, Midwest, and a Southeast, I think it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Southwest. Right. So and like I said, it's going to be, you know, the Ohio's, the Kentucky's, the Indiana's, the Michigan, the New York's, the Atlanta, the Georgia, the Florida, and the Carolinas. That's all in the East. So we end up East Coast and a West Coast, West Conference, Eastern Conference, Western Conference.
Okay, all right. So what kind of, do you think your team can get that far? How far are they along in what you want to get done?
Well, I feel that we're going to be competing for the championship, the team I have, and we're only getting better. We're only thing I say, we're a young team. We don't have the experience of veteran leadership, but they make up for it in their effort and their heart. Now I just got to help them understand how to manage a game, how to be down the road of what they need to do to become a champion. Becoming a champion and just playing is understanding what it takes to become a champion.
And if I'm not mistaken, what I've read in the background is the fact that you like the effort and that kind of thing. That's a must for your kids, isn't it?
Oh, it's a must. The effort has to be there every day. I tell guys, every day you come to practice, you should be learning something. It's not just come to practice and go home. It's come to practice, understand what's getting you better and getting the team better. If one guy gets better and we win games, that's okay. But if we all get better and win a lot of games, we can become champions.
Mm-hmm. Where are the majority of your kids from?
Indiana and Illinois.
Right.
So most of our guys are from. But we've got guys from California. We've got guys from Louisiana, Texas, all over. You know, I try to find guys. I try to find the best guys out there to play for me. But also, it's got to be a chemistry thing. You can have the best of everything, but if there's no chemistry, you can't go far and do things. And it's a certain kind of guy that can play for us. He's got to be community orientated. He's got to work well with others. And more importantly, he has to be that guy who doesn't mind helping his teammates get to the next level.
So when you go back and think about some of your pro days, I'm sure you got some really good thoughts of your pro days.
Oh, yeah. You know, I played my favorite team I played for was the 87 Hawks. And the reason why I say that is because we did a lot of things together as a team, on and off the floor. So, you know, and I played with a team where we had the best talent, but the chemistry wasn't there. You know, I played with the championship teams that we were good and we had fun together, but it wasn't quite like the team I played with the 87 Hawks where we all got along and we all did everything together. So I try to make my team a mixture of the two where the chemistry was there and the camaraderie was there, but also the competitiveness with the 91 and 92 Bulls championships.
Yeah, that's where you got your two rings at. And of course you play with Michael and Scotty. And how was it playing with those guys?
Well, you know, one thing I loved about playing with them is every day, those guys came to play. It was not a day that Michael took off. You know, I played with some other guys and some other teams where if you played more than 28 minutes, you'd have to practice the next day. Well, with Michael, he practiced every day. It didn't matter if he played 40 minutes that night, the night before, or he played 27 minutes that night before. He's coming to practice and giving it his all in practice. And that's what made that Bulls team a special team, because everyone came to play every day in practice. We competed every day in practice. And that's what I want for my teams, is guys coming to compete every day in practice. Push your teammate to get better, because as you push your teammate to get better, you get better along the way as well.
Any special story about Michael?
Well, Michael's one of those guys who I've always said been here before. You know, he's played the game before we even got on the floor. You know, we would be in practice and he would say, I'm going to steal the ball and go down and dunk. It's going to go into Stacey King. And I'm going to steal it. And I'd be like, well, okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure. A couple of times down the floor, I'm looking at him like, well, you didn't do it. And the third time you go down, it goes into Stacey. Stacey makes a move. He steals it, goes down and dunk. It's like, this guy's been here before.
Yeah.
He's seen this happen before. So it's like, how does he know this is going to happen? But he's just one of those guys who know how to make a game turn out the way he wants it to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Rodman with that group or not? I can't remember.
No, Rodman was after him. He's part of the second three people.
Okay. All right. I couldn't remember if he was with you or with the other group. I couldn't remember that. So.
Yeah, he was with the other group.
Yeah. Anybody else on those two championship teams that you really got along with and thought were very special people?
Oh, I got along with B.J. Armstrong. B.J. Armstrong was a really intense, hardworking guy. He didn't take back down from nobody. He challenged guys. You know, and then Scotty was basically my duo partner. You know, every day in practice, we go at each other and pushing each other to get better. I mean, that Bulls team, it was a special group. Craig Hodges, Stacey King, Dennis Hobson, myself, Scott Williams. The second group, we were a band of brothers. We bonded together, really, really well. And we made it our point and made it our mission to push the starters, which was Michael, Scotty, Bill Cartwright, Paxson, and Horace Grant.
Right.
We made it our mission to push these guys and make these guys day, every day, knowing that you've got guys who's hungry and biting at your heels. You know, and if we got a chance to come in, we're going to make sure we make some noise when we got in the game.
You know, your second group would be a lot better than probably several NBA teams that are currently out there right now.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I understand. But the best part about that was we knew that if we didn't come to practice every day and play hard every day, they were going to hand us our butt day in and day out. So we knew we had to make sure that we come every day and we left it all on the floor.
Before we go much further, what's your thoughts on today's NBA? Is it better or worse than what it was when you were playing?
It's a different era. It's a different game. You know, today's game is played from the outside in, mm-hmm. and when we played, it was played from the inside out. So it's a little different game. Physicality is a little bit different from when we played. You know, everybody say it wasn't basketball; it was beating up each other, but it was more of a mental game. I think these guys are a lot more talented than we were back in the day, but they don't understand the game like we understood the game. So that is a different, totally different era. You know, I respect this era of basketball, but also respect the era that I played in.
Too much, maybe too much reliance on the three ball now or not?
Oh, a lot reliance on the three ball. And, you know, with my team, I try to tell my guys, do not rely on the three ball. We got to get baskets. I love the twos and fews. That's what I call them, the twos and the fews, then the three ball.
Okay. Cliff, is there anything else you want to bring up before I let you go?
Well, you know, I just want, you know, people to understand that this Kokomo Bobcat team is a special team. And if you haven't been out to see a game, you need to make sure you just come out one time. All it takes is one time, and we're going to have you hooked because we have a great product, and this is some great basketball. So come on and watch us.
Where do you guys play at?
We play at Memorial Gym in Kokomo, Indiana, on Epperson, and I think it's Epperson and Superior.
Okay. All right. Hey, this has been a great pleasure to talk to you. Hopefully everything works out for you. And if we do, we'll probably have you back a little bit later on in the year, okay?
Well, no, probably. I'll see you back after we win the championship, all right?
That sounds great. Cliff, thanks much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Best of luck to you and the Bobcats, and we'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, Ken. Take care.
You too. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That was Cliff Lovingston, an interview we did Thursday afternoon with him, and his Bobcats are currently 7-1 and getting ready to play a couple of games this weekend. All right, we're going to take a break right now. Our next guest is on the line. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
when I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Many thanks to Cliff Lovingston for making himself available here earlier in the week for that interview we did to start off the show. Now we're going to bring in the National Federation of State High School Associations Executive Director, Carissa Niehoff. Carissa, good morning. How's things going?
Good morning, Ken, and good morning to all of your listeners. Things are going well here in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Right now, the sun's out nice and bright, but I have a feeling it's not going to stick around for very long. That's the one thing I'm not looking forward to. So,
no, not at all. Yeah. We haven't been that lucky yet for 2 days in a row.
I know. I'm getting a little tired of this. First thing out of the gate, I want to ask you is that: did you really think at the beginning of this year we'd get to where we are right now? And as we were talking beforehand, it's kind of surprising to see some winter sports still being taken care of at this time of the year.
Yeah, you know, it has been such an unknown. Even when we started to get state associations back into competition, we would see the momentum pick up, and then, you know, out of the blue would be a need to roll back activities. I mean, we literally, in some occasions, had teams on buses on their way to competitive events, and there would be a shift in the governor's decision, and, you know, they'd have to turn around and go home. A little bit like two or three steps forward and then half a step back. And so we were always hopeful, 100% hopeful, that by the end of the school year, everybody would have participated in something. There would be some level of championship experience, be it regional, sectional, or even, you know, if you're fortunate, a state championship. And we're seeing that. Only a couple of states had sports that they just did not play, football, you know, for example. But, you know, I think we were super hopeful. We just always had to be sort of guarded optimistic about the outlook.
Is there anything that COVID taught you this year that you're going to take forward and keep into the main thing for the coming years?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, we have always had a deep, deep appreciation for the meaning and the significance of high school sports. I think what we've learned is they're more important than we thought, because when we didn't have them, communities lost what is often a catalyst, which is the high school board experience. Kids, most importantly, lost their sense of connection to, you know, their community, their family, which is their team. For a lot of kids, the most caring adults, if they're lucky to have their parents there, the next layer out is their coach. Growth and development, we know, obviously academic learning is significant to have continuity there, but we've also learned that we've got to have continuity in activity and in sport, in all of those things that sport offers, well beyond the X's and O's. So we learned that they really matter very deeply for our kids in terms of their mental and emotional and physical wellness. I think we also learned that we can't forget what this felt like. So as we see people going back to activity, we are now really trying to message to players, coaches, administrators, officials, fans in particular, let's take care of these experiences. Let's make sure we don't reengage in poor sportsmanship, that we realize that we've got a shortage of officials now that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to realize that kids want to play for fun, even at the high school level. The number one reason they play is fun. So we've been re-engaged with the research. We've been re-engaged with the raw emotion that we felt through loss. And we've learned that we've got to go forward collectively, collaboratively, and take care of these things so that we don't lose them again.
Yeah, and I know you just recently did a column, I think it was recently, that you just said multiple, you know, kids being in multiple activities or sports is really, really good for them.
It is, absolutely. We've got well-documented research that supports, you know, just the physical development of the body and, you know, the physical literacy, the muscle development, the motor control and skill development. The body does better with variety. We also know that emotionally, variety is important, and mentally, we all can't do any one thing all the time. We'll just get burnt out, and we don't want to see that happen to kids, especially at the young ages they are in the scholastic age group. But we also know that in sport in particular, the development of field sense or court sense, of ball or, you know, distribution of whatever you're doing. If you're involved in an individual sport, we've got to take a mental break so that we can refresh. And then, of course, there's social development. When you're engaged with multiple teams, that broadens your social network. It broadens your connection to coaches. It expands your identity. And overall, and there's research to support this as well, the multi-sport athletes, the multi-activity students tend to do better academically. Their perseverance is better. The success rate is better. And we saw just now in the NBA, the NFL draft, the great majority of those inducted were multi-sport athletes. So we don't have to, you know, think that single sport year-round activity is your best pathway to scholarship or for the most elite athletes to a professional opportunity. So we've learned a lot, and we're really trying to message that for all of the reasons I just mentioned.
Are you guys going to have any kind of testing that's going to be mandated this coming year or not?
Yeah, great question. So as you well know, Ken, we're a federation by design, so we can't mandate a lot of things with state associations. And when it comes to testing, they have to work very closely with their state health agencies, their local school districts, and, of course, the legislative directions in their state. I would anticipate we will see, and we're starting to see, mandatory testing at the collegiate level as kids are going back to certain colleges, especially the private colleges. There's mandatory testing. Colleges and universities tend to have more resources to support providing the test kits themselves, but it's going to be interesting to see at the high school space where a lot of your kids are under 18. There are different medical and privacy issues. I don't think that's going to be the overall trend, but certainly maybe in some private schools we'll see that, tuition-based experiences, but not so much in the public high school space for sure.
And this is something we've talked about before, but I see that where the shot clock got voted down again for the coming season.
Oh, boy.
And I'm kind of surprised by that to a certain extent.
Yeah, well, just for our, you know, the edification of listeners, you're very familiar with the NFHS, but in case folks aren't, the rules development process starts with a specific sport rules committee, moves up to a rules review committee, which is made up of NFHS sport directors. So you have a lot of different perspectives in the room, and then their decision gets passed up to the NFHS board of directors. At this time, the NFHS board of directors is considering whether or not to approve a proposal that came to them that would allow for state adoption to take place in 2021-2022 school year. State adoption is not necessarily making the shot clock a rule, but it is allowing a state to choose whether or not they want to implement a shot clock. We'll see where that goes. There's some energy around whether 2021-22 is too soon, whether 22-23 is better, or whether the board will approve a shot clock state adoption option at all. So they are set to render their decision next Wednesday, May 12th. So we should have something out immediately in the form of a press release to all of our good media friends So that we'll get the official decision to you all soon.
But basically, I think what we're saying is that the shot clock is inevitable. It's coming at some point in time.
Well, if it's state adoption, if that gets passed by the board of directors, it allows states to choose. And eventually, if there is a trend toward more states choosing that option, we may see our committee vote shift. At this point, there are a lot of states that are concerned with a few things about shot clock implementation. At the more developmental levels in the game, some folks feel that the shot clock would be a distraction for developmental programs that might need a little more time to set themselves up on offense or execute an offensive strategy. Another thing that folks are considering, especially in smaller schools, is the purchase of shot clocks for schools, the training of officials, the getting another person in stripes on the sideline to implement the shot clock. So, you know, if their coaches do start to favor that, it would involve some the infusion of some resources for schools and certainly some training for officials to make sure that the transition to using a shot clock is done without a lot of, you know, question there in terms of skill preparation. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. We are a member-driven organization. You know, if our committee, by voting state adoption, reflects a trend in that direction, we'll certainly see. But we do know that it's mixed out there still. But we'll be watching. We'll be in touch with you as we go.
You mentioned earlier you got a shortage of officials. Now, is that just for basically spring sports, or is this for all your sports?
Oh, goodness, Ken. Unfortunately, it's for all.
Oh.
If you look in our sports, the average age of our officials is, you know, anywhere from the mid-50s to mid-60s in some cases.
Okay.
So we really, really are at a critical point here in terms of our officials' population. So we are doing our best to elevate our recruitment campaigns, working with our states to get out some marketing and messaging about, you know, the officiating profession. We're reaching out to first responders, collegiate intramural programs, the general public, and really trying to get some folks involved. I will say one of the biggest deterrents for retention in the profession is parent-fan behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And even coaches' behavior.
Right.
So we really are shouting out and pleading with folks that attend contests, please remember, officiating is not easy.
No.
And they do their best out there, and we just need to cut them some slack, offer some grace, cheer for them as much as we would, and really focus on the good things the kids are doing out there. We want our officials to come back and feel welcomed and supported. Let's take care of them. Let's treat them well.
I noticed that one of the sports that's really kind of coming up and kind of taking some hold is girls flag football. I noticed where Alabama went ahead and approved theirs to start, I think it was this year, I believe. Yeah, I don't know, maybe next year. Are you seeing that as a trend across the country, or are there any other sports that are kind of showing that same kind of trend?
Well, you are on top of it, Ken. That is exactly what we're seeing. We are super excited about this. We have entered into a partnership with the NFL to do some marketing around the sport of football as a whole, and, of course, flags a piece of it. The NFL clubs are working with Reigning Champs Experiences and the NFHS, and now Nike has stepped into the arena. We are working to provide grant funding directly to state associations so that if there are interested high schools, if the interest is there in the state, to actually provide some seed money to start girls' flag experiences, probably at the club level first. But what we saw in Georgia was that within a year and a half, it grew so quickly that it is now a state championship event. And you'll get as much media attention and attendance at these events when we have them in person, of course, as you might with the boys' events.
Right.
So it is a super opportunity. It's super exciting. Doesn't cost a lot of money. There's a ton of interest, and I think we're going to see this grow. I know our NFL clubs around the country are interested. Of course, as you know, Alabama just partnered with the Falcons. We've got the Seahawks working in the upper Northwest. And we even have Montana, their association. So they're targeting people all over, and I think we're going to see this grow, and it's really exciting.
Are there any other sports you see that might start coming out of the blue besides girls flag football?
Well, girls wrestling continues to increase.
Yeah, it does.
We just passed a rule change for wrestling where now states can choose one of three weight classes for both boys and girls. Now we finally have options and weight classes for girls. The sport is that big now. We're excited about that. Boys and girls lacrosse is really exploding around the country. Mm-hmm. I think if anybody drives by their local recreational field on a weekend, I know we see it here in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
you got little ones out there with sticks that are about as big as they are.
Right.
The sport is really growing. Girls volleyball has surpassed girls basketball in terms of overall participation. So that's one to watch. We're just seeing, you know, high school sports are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They are healthy. And we just want to protect the opportunity. We're super, super thrilled that we're all back in activity and excited about what we see growing.
Yeah, it is a great feeling to know that we got athletics and almost all of our summer events that we couldn't do this past year coming back. And it's kind of fun to think about some of that.
So. It really is. It's just such a special ticket to a game or, we're watching memories that may end at the end of a high school career. And there's only a handful of those opportunities. So we're taking in something special when we're on the sideline of a high school event.
Okay. Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
I want to just, again, thank you, Ken. We've talked many times throughout the last year and a half.
Yes, we have.
I just appreciate all that you do to promote what we're doing and the friendship we have.
Yeah.
And want to stay in touch and just wish you well and your listeners well and look forward to the next opportunity.
Yeah, I feel the same way about what you guys do, and I always appreciate talking to you. It's a lot of fun, and it's very educational for me, too, so. That's one reason I really like it. So,
well, thank you, and best of luck to you. We'll talk soon.
Okay, you take good care, and we'll talk to you later on, okay?
You bet.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right.
That was Carissa Niehoff, who is the Executive Director of the National Federation of State High School Associations. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper.